What's up, everybody? Sorry, I got a little distracted there. That we started this saying in the green room, Kelvin and Luke were saying, "Let me turn off Discord so I don't get distracted," and that's exactly what I was doing. So horrible. So anyway, welcome to Technical Deficit. So excited to be here. As you notice, we're doing things a little different. We're having the chat right up on the screen. We're doing this on multiple places this time. We're on OAT VoIP, YouTube, as well as MSP Media Network, which is where Technical Deficit's going to be moving to going forward. But this is about the Cyber Drain CTF number 3. This was, I'm told, this was the most exciting and fun one. I watched the chats, I watched the screaming, the yelling, the frustration, the joys. And I have to say, that's exactly what I witnessed from the outside. I always watch and I always enjoy the frightened screams as points drop for getting caught on a sand trap. But here we're going to talk about, like we do after every CTF, after every capture of the flag, we're going to talk about solving some of those interesting challenges. They're not the most popular ones or the most challenging ones. These are just the ones that that Luke and Kelvin have decided were the most noteworthy, I guess. We'll find out directly from them what the qualifiers are. But I'm happy to be joined by Mr. Kelvin Tehelar. I think I just won't butcher his name this time.
You actually were so close. I was like, I was waiting for it to happen, but it was so close. It's amazing.
Nice. Mr. Luke Whitelock, who has joined us in previous tech deficits. I think at this point you've been on more TDs than Kelvin has, because you did the hoodoo stuff too, right?
I think we're tied. He did one of the CTFs without me.
Ah, okay.
Terrible.
So we have technical deficit alums here. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Good.
Thank you.
Nice. And Luke, you want to give some background for the one person on the planet that hasn't seen you at MSP Geek or your blogs or the other technical deficit episodes, which, shame on you if you guys haven't watched it. You want to give us some background on you, man?
Sure. So I'm the technical director of a small MSP in England. I do a blog with various scripts and stuff, mainly focusing around Hoodoo and Halo recently. I won one of the CTFs, and then this time I was helping Kelvin make it even more horrible for other people.
Yeah, Kelvin always grabs some people to help. I know Jason added some Linux stuff in the last time, and I think Gavin Stone, UK Gavin Stone, had added some stuff previously as well. And then Kelvin, the man who should need no introduction, he's a beer sommelier. He runs my blog, Cyberdrain, with the PowerShell scripts, and constantly posting everywhere. The host of Tech in 5 Minutes, which we can't get enough of. And I'm just happy to have you here, man, with the amount of travel you're going to be doing, speaking now that the world's opened up a bit. How you doing, Kelvin?
Good. It's actually the most wonderful introduction I've had so far, I think. You've just summed up my entire life in like 2 sentences.
Well, if I can't,
cooking and long walks on the beach.
Oh, the cooking's no joke. I mean, he posts these pictures of like this food. I'm like, oh, I'm having a slice of pizza. And he has this like charcuterie board with like, he's raising the animals himself in his backyard, on the water. And of course, there you go. We already have Kelvin, do you ever sleep? Oh, wait, I missed it. Chris Ham, Kelvin, do you ever sleep? So, yeah. I think the three of us probably get the least amount of sleep of anyone on Slack or Discord anywhere. And you're going to be speaking at a few places. You were telling me in the green room. You want to bring those up? What's the show?
Yeah, absolutely. So one that I am going to be at very soon, and that is 100% sure, is SITS London in May. So I'll be able to see everyone from the UK there. Just come visit me. Come shake hands. Come have a beer. I'm a fun guy. I don't bite. Trust me. Right after that, I should be speaking at Ingram Micro. That's not confirmed yet. And there's a couple of more that aren't confirmed yet. So I'll just keep those on the back burner, but I'll be telling people about it soon.
Awesome. We'll be playing Where's Waldo with Kelvin. And don't forget to check out his blog. Cyberdrain does have some awesome swag, as I have my hat here and my throw pillow somewhere. I think it's in my office, so I can take those daytime naps, which I definitely appreciate. So let's get to the meat at hand. We're talking who doesn't love long walks on the beach with adult Lunchables?
Exactly.
That's basically what a charcuterie board is, right? Like, we
Yeah,
grew up a
it's a little
Lunchable now.
Lunchable.
It's about the same. I agree with you, Tom. All right, so let's get down to it. So Cyberdrain CTF, right? These are capture the flags. I want to give some quick background, because I want to give the benefit of the doubt that not everybody knows what a CTF is. And as a training tool, as a learning tool, as a test your mettle tool, I think that they're phenomenal. And while we've seen CTFs for hacking and for other areas of knowledge, the MSP focused, or the CTFs in the MSP space, I can't say were really popular until you started doing these. So you want to talk about, why you started doing this, the CTFs, and what you were hoping to get out of it?
No, I don't. Yeah, of course.
Fair enough. Okay.
I'm sorry, guys. I've just been tricked by Ray, so we're having a bit of a thing right now. But yeah, I'm going to be talking about the CTF right now. So the primary reason I started Cyberdrain CTF is because I saw all these pretty awesome events happening with stuff like the PyCo CTF and like these actual hacking-based capture the flag events. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't see enough tools for system engineers, whether you be working at an MSP or as an in-house engineer or just as a student somewhere, you're still studying. I didn't see enough of educational materials in the same way, like real practical examples, like the CTFs were giving. So I decided to make my own first system administrator-oriented capture the flag event. And that pretty much means that you'll be solving challenges that range from, hey, this server is broken and we can't get it to start again, to, hey, I want to know how to connect to this API because I need it for my work. Or even like, hey, this Windows workstation, it's having a small issue starting an application. Please fix it. Like actual real life examples that you can learn from and applying your day-to-day operations. The first CTF I've started when COVID was just starting and people were like dropping all of their educational needs for personal needs. And that was absolutely normal, but you needed to find a way to sort of get back into the game. So that was the first CTF where Luke actually scored second place, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I
Killed
was
it, man.
sick. Didn't even get a prize in the first one.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
That
you were
horrible
really?
speaker question.
Exactly,
Then why did
exactly.
we have you on? No.
Then we did the second CTF where Luke did score very high, and we decided that at each CTF we'll need some extra judges. So my dear friend Gavin Stone, he was like, hey, I'm happy to help you around with the Cyberdrain CTF stuff. So during the second one, he became a judge. And now that Luke was the winner of the previous CTF, during the third one, Luke also helped judging together with Gavin. I have to say that this CTF, the entire event itself, it was super educational, but it was also so much fun to watch. Like from the judges' side, it was amazing to see the hype around it.
He's saying amazing, like he doesn't mean he was laughing at you guys from the I think who is it here? Nick is Nick C is saying it perfectly. I've never danced the line between absolute insanity and feeling like I actually know technology quite so much as I did on the CTF. And if I saw anything from the Cyberdrain Discord or MSP Geek Discord chats, that's pretty much the sentiment I saw with everybody. Everybody was like, this is awesome. I just spent 12 hours on this challenge. Oh, this is great. And yeah,
Yeah,
it was pretty
the
phenomenal.
reviews were great. One of the best things I've seen in there was that someone actually said like, hey, this reinvigorated me to be an IT guy. This got my passion back. And that's exactly what I was targeting. So even if I just helped one person, it was amazing. I think Luke actually had like the responsibility this time because during right before the CTF started, some issues happened in my personal life that didn't allow me to make the challenges, all of them. So Luke was just like jumping in and helping making the challenges, and he made some of the most amazing ones that we'll discuss today too.
And Will brings up a good point. It wasn't so much the high placing Luke was doing. He was killing it in like record time, if I recall correctly. You know, what was it? You did the first one. It was like a matter of days or something like that, right?
It was something like, I think it was about 10 and a half hours.
Yeah.
And the second one was like a day and 10 hours or something.
Yeah, something like that. Like we were like in 32 hours, I think. 32 hours, it was like done. And I was like, what the hell? So we also solved that in the PDF by making everything a little bit more even over the 2 weeks.
That's good. And that's the thing, right? You're always learning. And that brings up some housekeeping stuff I want to bring up before we start getting into these challenges. This is a recorded, available immediately after on the YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all the other places we're posting. As far as the CTFs themselves, you can't go back to the CTF if you didn't go through it, right? You got to wait till the next one.
Yes and no. Yes, you have to wait for the next one to publicly compete, win prizes, that kind of stuff. No, because you are able to sponsor me directly using GitHub, and you will get the CTFD files. So you'll be able to set up your own instance of the CTF for stuff like hiring or that kind of, or those kind of things.
And the GitHub, Kelvin's GitHub, is kind of like this magic Pandora's box, because you start reading the Cyberdrain stuff, and Luke's blog is the same thing. You start reading like, oh, that's a good idea, and that's a good idea, and like, oh, I'm gonna get this done, and I'm gonna get this done, and suddenly you have this list of like 300 scripts. You're like, oh, I'm never gonna get this all done. And thankfully, I can just, you know, throw it at the staff and let them do it. But if you haven't seen, absolutely go check out the Cyberdrain blog, whatchamacallit. Oops, that is not the screen I wanted to share. My bad. go check out the Cyberdrain blog.
You're being very poor at this today. This is
like... I am so bad at this today. This is why Simon does this stuff. This is so anyway, go check out cyberdrain.com. If you go to ctf.cyberdrain.com, you can see some of the awesome prizes that were there this past, which is what I was trying to show. And prizes from some awesome, awesome, awesome people, like Huntress, like Ninja. We throw something in there too. I think Lifecycle Insights was there too. And someone brought up, it put them in a depression because they weren't able to get an AT-AT. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for being the voice of reason here, because they weren't able to get an AT-AT as one of the prizes. So really cool stuff every year. And actually... yeah, I don't have the new prizes here. I usually buy something for myself. Whatever we're sponsoring, I'll buy one for myself. So so let's get into it. A little bit of fun first. I know you guys were ineligible for the prizes, but this year, which was the one that excited you the most? I'll start with Luke.
Probably the 8080. I really want one of those.
You guys are wrong. It's like there's only one right answer, and that's the Millennium Falcon. I mean,
I've already got the Millennium Falcon, so that's why I didn't want that one.
And that was the that was the challenge, right? It was like looking, and you start to see like some of the same names like place over and over again. So like what we did and what a couple others did, like we offered the prize or an Amazon gift card worth the same price, so that like if you already had that whatever we were giving, like we were doing we always do the 32-inch or 49-inch monitor. I forget what we do. I think it's a 49-inch. That way, if you already have it, because you may have won it the previous year, you can get a gift card. But yeah, there were some jealousy inducing prizes this year. Yeah. All right, so let's get into the speaking of Gavin Stone, you just joined the chat. What's up, Gav? All right, so speaking of, let's get into the CTF thing, right? So which challenge are we starting with first, guys?
I think probably the no emails on the phone since setting change by Microsoft. And that was actually a challenge that I purposely made as vague as possible. This is one I made myself. I think we'll also discuss one that Luke made in a little bit, so he'll divulge more info about that. But mostly this one was like, hey, as system administrators, we always need to be aware of what's going to happen right now, but I think we need to be doubly as aware as what's going to happen in the future. Not just what's going to happen in the future towards for clients, but also what's going to happen on roadmaps and these kind of things. So this was one of the challenges, and I just saw Gavin's comment about the other ones that being vague. This one was even vaguer. This was one of the challenges where you actually had to go Google stuff. You just had to like, okay, so what's happening after, I think I said December 2025 or something like that. Something like that. Like suddenly Mill stopped working and she was just checking her phone and it worked 5 years ago, but it doesn't now. Something like that, I said. And that was mostly for just to have people go to the Microsoft 365 roadmap and be like, hey, I have to be aware that in October of this year, basic authentication is being deprecated completely. And if you configured your phone 5 years ago, then it is using basic authentication. And if you are trying to start it up now and look at the email, then it will not work, or at least if you would do that in December of this year, for example. So this was really an exercise that I wanted to have everyone sort of sit down and be like, okay, you know what? What's going to happen in the future to Office 365? Where do I need to get this information? So this was one of those challenges where like you actually couldn't find the answer. You couldn't find the flag in a place. And a lot of people got a little bit annoyed at that. And then that often happens when you can't have like, oh, I can fix this problem and I can find a flag. No, this was one of those, you have to find stuff on your own things. And a lot of people did, and some people got the answer almost right, almost wrong, that kind of stuff. So as judges, we help them a little at the moment that we're judging and we see in the list like, hey, someone's just making a typo. Then we just send them a message saying like, hey, you got very close and this is the actual answer. You just made a typo. Please enter it like this. I think this is also one of the ones that at the start was answered most. So administrators that knew this was coming were immediately like, bam, 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 bam. And then near the ending, it was taking people longer and longer to solve this challenge, especially in between the challenges. You saw one person solve it or one person enter an incorrect answer and then just wait 4 days and then submit his next incorrect answer. So you knew they were actually like focused on it for a couple of days.
So was this were partial points eligible in this CTF? Because I don't think no. That was a thing in previous ones, right?
No. In previous ones, we did have like these joke awards you could get that you could get a little bit of plus points, a little bit of minus points. But we removed that mostly in the CTF to make sure that the leaderboards wouldn't be too messed up.
That makes sense, and I like how you're always trying to and I. Kelvin gets all the credit, but like the other judges too, like you're always trying to make sure that you're doing that you're accounting for the different edge cases and make sure everybody gets something out of it, right? It's not just for whoever places the best, but focusing on these other things to make sure it's an even playing field. And I think that's pretty damn cool. As we go through these, and again, we're not going to give all the answers to everything because some challenges may show up again, but if you have a challenge that was your that was your arch nemesis or when you had a special amount of fun with, put it in the chat and we'll if we have time left over we may discuss it. So following the breadcrumbs,
I was like, let's make a very simple challenge. Let's make my website link to Luke's website and then to Gavin's website and just be done. And then Luke was like, no, let's make it hard. Go ahead, Luke.
Wasn't the one who made it hard. I was going to go really mean on my one, which was like hiding the next link in stenography or something in the image or in the EXIF data. But Kelvin persuaded me to be nicer. But then Gav, on the other hand, decided to go in the opposite direction to that. And rather than just having it as a page in his blog, decided to hide it in the text record of his DNS records. So it wasn't, the link was to a domain which didn't exist, but there was a TXT record for that domain hidden in Gav's DNS. and that drove a lot of people very, very crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot like Luke said, instead of just making it a little bit evil, somehow this ended up as one of the most evil challenges in there, because eventually people started emailing us, like thinking, I think I left a hint on my website saying like, hey, if you're doing the Cyberdrain CTF, tell my friend Gavin, he's not receiving my email. I said something like that to give a slight hint, and at hey, check the text record, check the SPF record, the DMARC, whatever, just check the DNS records. It was just a hint towards that. And a lot of people started emailing either me or Gavin. And Gavin actually took it up a level. Like halfway through the CTF, he decided to start emailing pictures people or started emailing people pictures of bread. So he, whenever someone emailed him about breadcrumbs, he was just like, JPEG, bread, sent. And then he
That's so horrible.
Exactly. That just sending the pictures was horrible. But then he actually started hiding fake flags in the EXIF data of those images. And people started submitting those. So people actually took the time like, to go to the properties of the file and check, hey, what's the EXIF data on this? Oh, hey, there's a flag, and started entering it. Gavin was making this challenge so hard. And then Luke, of course, he put the image on his website. And he was like, yeah, I should use steganography or something like that. And we were like, no way. That's not, no. And then he actually was like, no, I'll just put the text in the image. And he made this extremely long URL. Like, I think it was like the maximum length a URL can be. Mm-hmm. And it was like all separate words. So people actually had to copy and paste that using OCR or type it all out. So that was beautiful.
So, you know, so what we're learning here is that Luke was going to try to be evil. Gavin took it up, like dialed it to 11. Yeah. Gavin may or may not be like, you know, some supervillain in the next Bond movie. And I'm all about that. I'm totally down to see Gavin is like, he already has kind of the look, right, with the shaved head. So, or the short hair. So yeah, I think that's a win.
Yeah, so this was one of those challenges where people actually were supposed to like, it's having an annoying help desk ticket with zero information. It's everyone had these in the past, like a ticket, my computer is broken, fix it. So this one just sort of teased your mind with the minimum amount of information.
And I love that it always boils down to it's always DNS. Like at the end of the day, that's just like the icing on top. It's always DNS. I mean, how freaking awesome is that? What is it? I started trying to read the first letter of the URL, who started like DM. I was this close to sending an email. How often do these during these CTFs do you get like, hey, Kelvin, you obviously made a mistake. I think you broke something. This is wrong.
All the time. Like people sending me like, hey, this is supposed to be the flag, but it isn't. And I just say, no, that's a false flag. Good luck. Something like that, you know. But there was one challenge during this entire CTF that did keep breaking a lot because we had a couple of cheaters this time. We found them very easy thanks to our tooling. We were able to see very extensively what people are doing on the CTF website, how they're doing things, what answers they're giving. So it's very easy to detect these cheaters. And I believe it was also them logging into one challenge we had, the flow challenge, and constantly deleting it or removing the data, that kind of stuff. So that was a little bit annoying. But out of all the challenges, it is very rare that they're actually broken. So this time it was just the flow, but we take a lot of care in playtesting. This time we did playtest like the weekend right before the CTF. Luke playtested all the challenges, I did, Gavin did some of them, and then we were like, okay, you know, this is production ready. So we're also always pretty careful of that.
So if you have the inclination to email the judges and say this is wrong, it's broken, it's you. It's not us, it's you. There you go. All right, so what do we got coming up next? We have Guess Who. Luke, can you describe this this challenge?
Sure. So we did a text file with JSON in it, which had, I think it was 100,000 different randomly generated people with different attributes in. And so it's all about people figuring out how to process that data and get the needle in the haystack that we were looking for, which was just the one record. So we gave them a whole load of obscure data to sift through. So this was one of my favorite ones to make, just because tweaking the like the clues that we were giving. So what gave only could determine one person, and all of the clues were needed. So yeah, that was a good one. And then watching the best part about this was just the different ways people solved it in the end, just because there were some absolutely crazy ways that people did it. Like some people had brought it into Power BI and did stuff. What was the worst one? Do you remember, Kelvin? Someone did something absolutely mental.
Some people did it in Excel, like importing the data into Excel and then just trying to filter it. One guy used Notepad++ and some tool called JQ, something like that. So that was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Because the entire point was that Luke and I, we're very proficient in PowerShell. So it's the first thing we went to, like, how are we going to do this in PowerShell? And we expected a lot of people to do that too. And then there's this one guy, yeah, I loaded it into Power BI, or I loaded it into Excel, I loaded it into MongoDB. And I was like, wait, what? Why? And some people, yeah. There were a couple of guys that were very proficient with Linux, and they were just like, oh yeah, I just used awk and grep, and I found it immediately. Like, it's I was like, wow, these are creative solutions. That's one of the things. The CTF never has right or wrong answers. We always have, like, however you get to the flag, you get to the flag. And people were like solving this in so many different ways. I actually didn't expect it to be solved in those ways. I was like, everyone's going to grab PowerShell and it's going to be a huge where clause, like where this, where that, where this. And I was like, oh no, oh, wow, these are cool solutions. I was very surprised at that.
That's what I kind of love about this. It's not a, you know, these CTFs are not things that you have to like follow this specific series of steps using these exact tools. You know, this is not a PowerShell only thing. This was one of the, this was one of the first ones I looked at myself. And yeah, I was doing it in JavaScript. I wasn't doing PowerShell. It was just easier, right? It was easier for me. So I definitely get the JQ guys that are they're doing in Linux and stuff. JQ is just a sed for JSON objects, or JSON loads. But that's pretty cool. So what was the most creative method? I can't say I wouldn't have used Excel either.
I think out of all of them, Excel was definitely the one I didn't see coming. Like, I also saw Power BI, and I sort of was like, yeah, that's okay. You can use Power BI. That's in the spirit of the challenge. But Excel, as a system administrator, you're supposed to hate this. As a sysadmin, you're supposed to be like getting across and acting like it's a vampire or something. And I saw people using it. I was like, okay, whatever you want, guys.
That's awesome. I love that. And I'm seeing the sentiment echoed here in the chat, right? The fact that there were multiple routes to solutions made it all that more fun. Sorry, I'm reading this. Sadly, one of the chaw was brute forcible. But you expect that kind of stuff, right? You expect people to go around the edges of what's
allowed. For most challenges, yes. Like, there's a couple where we're always a little bit more careful. The time challenges, where we have a lot of logging data, we can check, like, hey, did people actually try to cheat this challenge? Did people try to sort of evade the clock on time challenges? If they do that, they just lose the points for it at the end of the game, and then it's as simple as that. For some other ones, like Luke, for example, one of the hard ones, he had like explain your work. And that's also important, because in a lot of cases, especially when you're a system administrator that's dealing with these hard challenges, you need to be able to explain your work. It's not just, oh, I can solve it. You need to be able to tell someone else how you solved it. So for hard challenges, we have the explain your work type of stuff, and then we judge by hand. And we actually got a lot of beautiful submissions by that. I don't think a lot of people realize that all of the things you submit on the CTF website are streaming into either a Discord channel when you're successful, or when you're doing failed submissions, we can just view them all in the CTF portal. So there were people actually cursing in the thing, like, what the hell is this? Why is it broken? Why? And then just sending that as a thing out of frustration, you know, not realizing that we're reading this and just laughing our ass off.
That's awesome. And yeah, Ben, who did play, so we can't fault him for his methods. He did get win the 49-inch monitor last ETF. He was using Excel, so I you know. And then I love this. Someone had to Nick had to learn JQ for that. If you've ever had to play with JSON and Linux, the pain of having to learn JQ. It sucks. Yeah, try to write a bash script that has a JSON payload, and that's a certain kind of hell. Well, we have a here's a good question. Night all, will we have a best of submissions?
So I actually just sent like one submission to Simon, who's in the background taking care of stuff, just on one of the images. But there's a lot of very, very good submissions. I think Luke, Gavin, and I were for especially the PowerShell ones, we were like, oh wow, this is an amazing. And we gave people some extra points or like a little bit of an award, like, hey, this is a really production-ready script. But this, for example, was one of the greatest ones. This was someone who just wrote a story on how to create a script to pin some icons, and instead he just explained to a user how to do it. And he did it in an amazing script form.
I remember that one. That people were going crazy on like in the chat on that one. That was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, there's
I mean,
actually a couple of people. I think one of them was Ben Clymer. I'm not sure if it was him, but a couple of people actually did like super complex stuff in these scripts, like bit shifting and like actual like binary in scripts, and that was pretty cool.
I think Gavin, okay, this chat's going a little nuts. I think Gavin's having a little too much fun being evil. He says, next one I'll have 10 million entries or just enough to crash Excel. And in pure sysadmin style, Adam Wilford, so you mean like seven lines, right? Seven rows. Because we all hate Excel, except for Ben. So yeah, I think the chief outcome of the CTFs has been that we've turned Gavin Stone villainous. So
I think he was always evil. It's
yeah.
just we woke it up inside of him.
That's awesome. Oh man, and what's this other one you have here? Did you show the second screen, Simon? I was playing around in the chat. No, he's wagging his hand. No.
Yeah, this was just
These are
someone
the
like follow the breadcrumbs. They were getting so annoyed, like, make it stop, not the bees. Have you tried the curry?
Have you tried the curry?
It was just like the most random stuff we could find, and it was so funny.
That is awesome. That's gonna be so much fun watching this. All right, so let's keep moving on here. So our fourth one we want to talk about, everyone's favorite remote access tool, RDP, that we all put on 3390. RDP broke, Microsoft Technologies broke. What a surprise. Gets logged out every minute. What was fun about this one?
Well, yeah, this is actually one of those real life stories that I always have a lot of fun telling because it made one of my engineers go insane. This is like, imagine taking over this company that specialized back then in hydraulics, I think. And they had a computer that was attached to a hydraulics machine that automatically logged on when you started it so people could do their hydraulics tests. And every time that this engineer, he virtualized it so that if the computer ever broke, it wouldn't happen again. I mean, everything was IP, so why not create a virtual machine out of it? And then he was like, okay, hey, now that it's virtualized, I can start remote desktoping to it and like fix the tools remotely or create services or that kind of stuff. So he actually was like, I remote desktop to it and poof, he got locked out. And he was like, what the hell is going on? Did someone just log into the VM again? And he tried RDP again and poof, after a minute or like after a couple of seconds sometimes, he was locked out. And it turns out that the previous system administrator actually had so much issues activating auto log on. He found like this obscure method called force auto log on when locked. So whenever RDP logged on, it locked the console session and it immediately was logged in again by auto log on. So he was actively being logged out by the auto log on process, which was just like super funny to watch because the engineer went insane. And I figured, you know what? Some other people might enjoy that too. So let's put it in the challenge list.
That is awesome. I love that. We got Nixie saying, "Oh my God, that was fun." Oh man, that was fun, especially when you restored a fresh VM, forget to fix the RDP thing when working on other challenges. That's
You
awesome.
actually mispronounced this guy's name. It's Bick.
Bic.
Yeah, it's Bick. It's a Cybergreen
Okay.
CTF Discord chat thing.
Oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how you do it. You're one of the few people I know that is in more chats than I am, and I don't know how you keep up, man. That is ridiculous. And we'll put a link to the Cyberdrain Discord. If you're not part of it, awesome information, especially if you're using CIPP, to which both these gentlemen, I know it's Kelvin's baby, but Luke has contributed, Gavin Stone's contributed, Adam's contributed, a ton of people have made it an awesome platform. So I'll put a link to the Discord if you haven't checked out CIPP. So, which is always also fun to say. I'm not going to call it SIP. I'm just going to keep saying CIPP just because,
Sure.
my inner 12-year-old giggles every single time. So,
CIPP.
Luke, what, did you have any fun takeaways from this one, from the RDP one?
Not really. This one I've just been thinking. Oh no, the best
No,
one about this one is because to find the answer, you had to dig through registry. And Kelvin had left a red herring as you open up the registry, being like, "What are you doing looking at this or something?" That made
yeah,
me
like,
giggle
what
a
are you
lot.
doing here?
Nice. Nothing like you're feeling smart and you're like, oh, I got this. And then, Kelvin in your face saying, no, you idiot, this is the wrong place. Like, that's awesome.
With the breadcrumbs, we didn't have an actual ending flag, sort of like telling people, "Hey, you're there." So one of the players, True Hackworth, dear friend, he actually was like, "Okay, you know what? I'm gonna try to keep people from going too far." And he actually left a review on the IMDb page. You'd end up like, "Hey, my friends Gavin and Luke and Kelvin, send me here to watch this movie." And these were definitely the breadcrumbs I was looking for. Something like that. He left it as a review to actually help people. So it wasn't just the red herrings that were there. It was also a lot of people, especially in the CTF chat. We have the rule that you don't talk about the challenges directly or you don't give answers directly. But a lot of people did try to help each other, like pointing each other in the right direction, at least, like saying, "Oh no, you're completely going the wrong way. Abandon that and try something else."
And that's nice too, right? It's not just a, it's not it's a competition, but it's a friendly competition. It's where people are trying to help each other out. It's pretty cool. Ben brings up, and I see some challenges being thrown here, but Ben brings up, I'm sure some people submitted really nice scripts, and then he com and then Will commented about VBS, which we're not going to talk about VBScript, but as far as the nice scripts, were there any that like, were inspiring a bit to say, okay, well, maybe I need to start putting this up on a new blog or something like that?
Yeah, so a lot of them were, most of them were judged by Gavin, I think. Gavin was very much on point with the judging and checking the script and for functionality and that kind of stuff. And there were a couple of them that were in there that were like, "Yeah, these are production-ready scripts. These are beautiful." It completed the exercise exactly how we had envisioned. So, yes, there was a lot of good content in there, but there. To just compare, there also was a lot of shit content. Like Ben said, there was stuff like people using VBS to do things. And I was like, no, just no. And it did complete the challenge. It did work. So you had to approve it. So it wasn't like you could say, I didn't say anywhere, create a PowerShell script. No, I said, create a script. It is a script.
Yeah, so even if it was ugly, even if the PowerShell was full of plus equals, which is something I would have done just out of spite, you would have had to give the points anyway because it was correct.
Yeah, it was.
Kelvin loves the plus equals, so make sure if you do any scripts and you're going to show him, make sure you include that. So, and yeah, just more con more. More comments, the friendliness of the CTF, the great community. MSPs, we have a ton of great communities. And the Cyberdrain one is just thriving and just phenomenal. So, we love it. All right. So what do we have next? We've got about 15 minutes left, so I want to make sure we hit all of these. Server app restarts every 5 minutes. Was that server app maybe a database process for a well-known RMM, or was it a... I'm not calling names. I'm just asking for clarity because I know these have stories behind them.
So this one was pretty much a duplicate challenge. Yeah, it was a duplicate challenge because Luke and I both created a similar challenge. Like we were like, okay, someone has to start using Procmon to actually find the solution to this. So Luke created the challenge, I created the challenge, and we were like, wait a minute, those are the same. And then people didn't notice because people took like completely different approaches to those two challenges that we both didn't expect. So it was like, okay, cool, no one noticed. But one of the workstation ones, one of the server ones was like the exact same process, like an application crashed or you had to find a specific flag. And this one really was focused on making people use tools like Procmon, Process Explorer, that kind of stuff to actually see what a process is accessing and what it's doing. Like, hey, I'm connecting to this specific location. I'm putting some files there. I'm getting an access denied, that kind of stuff. There were a couple of people that took the long route around. They like started digging into the files, decompiling the PowerShell, or actually like deleting the entire app, copying it to another location, all that kind of stuff they started trying. So it was pretty fun to see people solving it while I expected them all to look at Procmon, really.
So I don't know if Killikisha's or Killikidia's being serious or not saying proc what. I have found that in MSP engineers there are two classes of people. There are ones that have the full sysinternal suite downloaded on multiple USB drives and in their OneDrive libraries, along with like almost every single Nearsoft tool. And then there are the other ones that, you know, that don't. And if you haven't used sysinternals, I forget he's a Microsoft Distinguished Engineer. I can't remember his name. Mark Rusinovich, is that him?
Mark Rusinovich.
Yeah. You know, if you haven't used sysinternals, we'll include the link in the show notes. You can just Google Microsoft sysinternals. He built it outside of Microsoft and Microsoft brought him in and he works for MS now, I think.
He's now the CTO of Azure.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah.
But an awesome suite of tools, including Procmon, Process Monitor, and a million other things. You know, you ever have the, you know, USB hiccups and, you know, apps acting oddly, Procmon will show you exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's not that hard to learn.
Exactly. And that's what this was focused on. Like, I think Luke and I just had the exact same challenge, like teach people how to use specific tools.
And so mine was looking at an app which the developer said it needed admin permissions to run. And so that's always a situation we come across where it's like, no, you have to give the user local admin. It's like, you very rarely need to give the user local admin. So you can use Procmon to then see what it's denying, what's being denied access to. So you can then go tweak permissions or do some other things to work around actually the app needing the admin at all.
So, yeah.
Very nice.
Exactly. And then we had a couple of those. We had a couple of these types of challenges where we actually forced people like, hey, look at this new tool you've never played with. The bot one was a very fun one example in that. We had a challenge where we asked people, create your own Teams bot. And for a system administrator, that's like the weirdest question in the world. Like, we're not developers. What the hell are you asking of me? But then when you start playing with the technology, you start noticing like, hey, this is actually like, very simple, straightforward stuff. Q&A maker, Power Automate bots. There's like a couple of cool ways to do this without having to be a programmer. So just as a system administrator, you could create a bot for your internal use, have it drop knowledge-based articles when people just ask a question and that kind of stuff. So people were very much introduced to technologies they never worked with before.
And that's you know, Nick C says, I'll call him Bick from now on, says, you know, he's in the other sysadmin tier. He never really used that sysinternals before. He has a new tool set now. And that's what I love. You walk away from this learning, okay, well, I probably solved it. But now there's this whole set of tools or this whole new technology or something, some other method I didn't know before, you know, that get outside of your comfort zone, learn something new, which is kind of a major point for these CTFs. And I love that. Since both of you are, you know, a little bit about automation, I'd give you like a 6 out of 10, something like that. You know, you mentioned something briefly, and speaking of adding tool sets to the MSPs, these low code, no code options, right? Power Automate falls in that category. Flow falls in that category. Zapier, Workato. There's hundreds of them. But you know, DevOps or being able to automate things, it's not something just for developers anymore, right? It's something that every MSP engineer should learn to use. I know myself, that's how I qualify my technicians, how their learning paths are going, you know, how their careers are developing, how quickly they adapt to learning these scripting technologies or no script technologies, automation. Being scripting junkies that you are, do you still leverage any of these low code, no code tools?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much simpler than creating a script that you have to monitor and make sure it keeps working, that kind of stuff. A good example of that is we have like these catered lunches at our office, but our caterer wants like, hey, let us know what we need to order in advance so we don't have so much spillage. Like we don't want to keep throwing away bread, that kind of stuff. So we have this little bot that in the morning tells people like, hey, are you going to be lunching in the office? Click here to order your stuff. And then they get a reminder an hour later. Did you remember to order your lunch? If they click on yes. So just to be sure they actually did order their lunch in the long run, you know? And that's one of the things that like, if I would do that with a PowerShell script, I'd have to monitor the PowerShell script. I'd have to maintain that. I'd have to make sure that it keeps working. I'd have to adapt at the changes. Now I can just say like, hey, office manager, here's the link to that flow. Here's how it works. Change the text, do what you want, and just hit the save button. It's as simple as that. Accessibility is important in automation.
It is. It's stuff that's usable. I liken it back to, you know, saying the bad word Slack. I miss Slack so much before we moved to Teams. But something my wife is not a coder. She's our CFO. She's never had a technical background in her life besides working with us. And you know, Slack was introducing at the time their cards and their bots and stuff that were low. There were no code. They were just, you know, drag and drop. You know, do this, then this, and this, and this, and you know, a full GUI based builder. And she was starting to, and while I was in beta, she was starting to build stuff with it. And I was like, that's really damn cool that like she's not relying on the tech team to teach her how to do things or how to tie things in. And because it's, you know, Slack and it had, you know, already thousands of integrations, it made it that much easier. So Power Automate falls in that category. Teams has a good amount of stuff. Teams drives me absolutely nuts, but it's not hard to create a bot in Teams. It's not hard to create cards in Teams. There's WYSIWYG editor. Well, not, it's not WYSIWYG, but there's, you know, really good template editors for the cards in Teams, the adaptive cards, if they just stop naming them, renaming them. But, you know,
it's Microsoft product if the name doesn't change every 2 weeks.
Right? You know, so, you know, and that's pretty damn cool. So I love that. Those say, preach, Kelvin. We can make developers out of office assistants.
Technicals. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm all about that. I wonder what the audience are fixing their stuff, right? What was that?
I was interrupting you. Please continue.
No, I was saying it's all fun and games until you have to start fixing their code, you know, because, you know.
Yeah, that's true, right? No, I was actually wondering what the audience's favorite challenge was. We asked in the CTF chat on that, and a lot of people were like, the answers were super diverse, but a lot of people liked the low-code challenges, like the bots and that kind of stuff. But also, I think Luke, his Linux challenges were also really enjoyed, like, there were a couple of Linux challenges that were super difficult, made with some assistance of Jason Slagle, like, this is my ID, hey, how to do that? And then I just left it to Luke, like, hey, implement Jason's ID and good luck. And they were pretty evil.
And that's the thing, too. Like, it's not, you know, we get kind of I remember MSP life, you know, you kind of get spoiled being everything being Windows based. Nowadays I don't think everything is Windows based, right? You play with a lot of Linux based systems, or you know, if you get into, you know, any switching tools and stuff like that, it's not Windows anymore. Not everything is Windows. So having those Linux skill sets, you don't have to be a full sysadmin on Linux systems, but being at least knowledgeable in some of these, and some things are just easier to do in Linux, especially scripting REST, and you can do PowerShell in Linux in case you're scared. What was the hard Linux one? What was the hardest one that was totally out of your wheelhouse? I'm asking Luke the chat.
What about Luke? This is one that happened to me in real life. So we use Huda internally. And my co-owner had spent all afternoon making a single document, which we had to get out to a customer that day. Goes to push save, and Hudu messed up. It took the request, but then said, no, you're not authorized, rejected it. So I ended up having to go find the Docker logs, where it actually puts a whole stream of the entire post content, rip out all of the images, all of the text and everything. All of the text was then like UTF-8 encoded, so I had to decode that, rebuild up all the images, and then get a new post request to send in and actually recreate the document. So yeah, that was a fun, well, we've got to get it out today. It's going to take me probably an hour to rebuild it from the logs and about 4 hours to remake it. So let's go and try and rebuild it from the logs.
Yeah, and I mean, that was an insane idea. He came with it like at the start of preparations. He was like, this is so cool. I just rebuilt this entire document out of the logs, just getting the images out of like the base64 string out of the log and entering it in the correct places. That was amazing. So I figured this challenge, yeah, absolutely worth it.
And I think we'll wrap with this last comment. There were too many neat challenges to choose a favorite. I think that wraps up the CTF perfectly. Thank you so much, Luke. Thank you so much, Kelvin. Really appreciate you guys. Kelvin and Luke are everywhere. Join them on MSP Geek. Kelvin maintains my blog. I just kid. It's his blog. He maintains it over at cyberdrain.com, which I will tell you, if you're an MSP owner or MSP engineer, just every time he publishes something, he's yet to publish something besides the IT glue stuff. He's yet to publish something that I'm not like, I can adopt that. That's great. And then, you know, like the good CEO I am, I assign it to somebody else. But then the same thing goes with Luke's blog, mspp.io, we don't have the HTTPS in there, but I am 100% positive that's secured by SSL. Right, Luke? Yeah. Simon makes the banner, so yeah. There you go. Well done, Luke. It's all good. But thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks for being on. Until the next CTF, I appreciate you. Simon, what do we got coming up next?
Yeah, so we do have a couple of events coming up. Tomorrow we have the MSP Live Chat with Ninja One, Lifecycle Insights, and Fin Security. That'll be the April Fool's Phishing Challenge. You'll be surprised at the people that we actually accomplished to fish.
It may rhyme with Melvin Kurgler Burger.
may rhyme with that.
That's why I was salty a little bit. I was via third party. I will call this supply chain social engineering. We were able to fish Kelvin with a Rickroll. So, but you'll have to see that tomorrow.
Right after that, you could come celebrate with us at 6:30 p.m. Happy hour night at the Tech Bar with Matt Lee and Jason Slagle. April 7th, next week at 1 p.m., we have our partner first webinar, How to Have Difficult Conversations Before They Become Impossible. That's with Gozinta. On 4/12, we're hosting a webinar with the Everything MSP group, so stay tuned for that. And then on 4/14 at 6:30 p.m., we'll be back at the Tech Bar with Jimmy Hatzel of QuickPass.
I love Jimmy.
Awesome.
Jimmy's
awesome,
such a good guy, man. He's awesome.
Really, it's so cool.
So Luke, anything you want to say to the family in the chat before we let you guys go?
No, I don't think so.
A man of many words, but evil intentions.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Kelvin, you always have a million things to say. Anything you want to leave us? Any parting words?
Just join us again next time at the next CTF. There might be the next one. I'm not sure yet. You know, these things happen spontaneously. It might be in 6 months. It might be in a year. But yeah, just join us again next time and we'll have just as much fun.
Or sponsor and set it up internally for yourself, like Nick's doing. You know, and yeah, and I can't wait till the next one. We will absolutely sponsor the next one too, because we're big supporters of this. Thanks, Luke. That means a lot to us. I don't know if that was your wrapping words. Or... so we'll exit with a woot-woot. Until next time, OIT family, thank you so much for being part of this. We'll see you in the we'll see you on the interwebs. Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.